This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
David Halpern, author of Intimate Aliens, Just Shipping. You bring up the fact that Albert Bender was a very deep follower of Max Steiner. For those of us who grew up with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Taylor Swift, forget about that. No. Tell us more about Max Steiner.
That he was one of the Hollywood's great composers. That I think he wrote the scores for more than 200 movies, including some of the ones that have become all-time classics, Gone with the Wind and Casablanca. Now, why Bender was so attracted to him, I don't know. But what I know is that the same organizational skills that he poured in to making the International Flying Saucer Bureau a truly international organization and attracting members, he poured into building up this Max Steiner Society. Only here, the people who joined it were people that you know about, like Vincent Price. Many of the Hollywood greats were members of his society.
Vincent Price?
Yeah. I'm blanking on the list. I can dig it out.
Okay, where I'm confused here is, was I heard Men in Black get mentioned in there. So where do they come into the picture?
In the fall of 1953, Bender abruptly closed down the International Flying Saucer Bureau. And he claimed that he had been visited by three men who told him the horrible truth about UFOs, about flying saucers, which he could not reveal, and they had kept him from telling anybody about it. I mean, this is how the Men in Black functioned, how they functioned for me, the enforcers of silence, and they continue to function that way when they're resurrected in Hollywood. What is it? Neuralizer, memories right. Become yeah. Fantasies. Now, exactly what happened to Bender, I don't know. I think I can guess. But in any case, he gave up his saucer research. Parker seems to have believed quite sincerely that Bender had discovered something extraordinary and was visited by mysterious men.
The thing to bear in mind, though, guys, is that that was probably one of the last serious things Gray Barker ever did before he started playing games and having fun at the expense of UFO researchers with his buddy Jim Moseley.
Most of his later books, I mean, are almost unreadable, like The Silver Bridge. I don't think I retained any of it 10 minutes after I finished reading it, whereas I can quote you huge chunks of They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. I think that was Gray Barker being real. Barker and Bender together created that myth. I do not mean to say that they conspired, put their heads together. How can we create a myth? But that Bender took something that I believe did happen to him, and I could tell you what I would guess that was, and Barker was able to present it in such a way that it resonated with unconscious material that gave it the power that it did to reshape the life of a 13-year-old boy in Levittown, Pennsylvania, with a dying mother.
Do you think, though, there are or were men in black?
Okay, if you read the book carefully, Bender doesn't say they dressed in black. He says they wore dark clothing and black hats.
I remember.
It was Barker who just shaded that ever so slightly into men in black suits that turned the event into a myth. Now, I do believe Bender was visited by three men, and I believe they were from the FBI. And I believe that the FBI, their reason for visiting Bender had absolutely nothing to do with UFOs. This was 1953. Senator Joseph McCarthy was at the height of his power and influence. J. Edgar Hoover's FBI was single-mindedly devoted to rooting out communism, the masters of deceit who wore a thousand disguises. And Barker describes how an FBI agent came into his office, this is before the silencing of Bender, and got one of his cards. And my speculation is they saw International Flying Saucer Bureau and said, aha, Communist Front Organization.
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it, given the climate of the times?
And add to it that in January of 1953, the Robertson panel had warned how enemies of the United States could use flying saucer enthusiasts to subvert the country.
Is it fair to think that in general there were men in black in a sense of government agents running around to see what was happening?
I don't know. I think there were these three agents who happened to wear dark clothing. But the men in black as a sort of persistent governmental organization, it makes no sense. I mean, why should a secret society wear a uniform that announces who they are?
I think it was Hoover that brought in sort of their standardized dress code, which was essentially black suits and hats. And they tended to drive around in their black sedans. And they did investigate UFO witnesses. We don't have to think of them necessarily as aliens. I mean, we get into these weird cases where, yeah, we have people who are or beings or something that are dressed like that, but then have these waxy faces and tend to vanish into thin air or be able to pull some sort of mind trick on people. Those aren't the only instances of MIB reports that are out there. There's quite a few more pretty strange ones, too.
You're thinking of Herbert Hopkins, I think, yes?
Oh, that one is, yeah, that's a classic. Yeah.
And this, I think, is one of the overtones of Men in Black, that Hopkins says he's dressed like an undertaker. And I think the Men in Black are embodiments of death.
You know, that really fits with your whole theme there, doesn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the book, I give an analysis of the Maury Island case, which I think will feed into that. And someone can say, well, wait a minute, didn't you just say they were real FBI agents? How are they embodiments of death? And that's part of what myth is, that you take reality and you give it a power and significance that goes beyond itself. One of the things I mentioned in my book, this I came across this not quay ufologist, but that I was translating 17th century Hebrew writings going back to a failed messianic movement. And I found myself translating the writings of a man named Cardozo, who describes how he saw four beings standing on the moon. One of them was a woman, and then there were three men. And the three men come down to Earth. At first he thinks they're the blessed ghosts of pious people. But it turns out they're demons, and that they've come to seduce him into heresy. And they cast fever upon him. They stand by his bed dressed in black. And I thought, oh my God, 270 years before they came to visit Albert Bender in Bridgeport, here they are by the Dardanelles afflicting Abraham Cardozo. So I think there's the archetypal element here.
Well, that's fascinating. Before that, the only one that I'd always turn to as an obvious one are the magi that visited Jesus in the manger type of thing, brought gifts. These were dressed in dark robes and showed up and had bearing gifts. You know, they followed the star there, and then it kind of hovered over where Jesus was, and then these black-robed figures come in, you know. So that was kind of my first introduction to them, but I'd never heard of that one. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, Barker certainly never heard of it because no Hebrew could read it until 2001 when I translated it.
Right, so you can read Hebrew?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You know, if I wasn't impressed before, I am now.
We could be more impressed because we got more to cover. Not just Men in Black, but Richard Shaver. And I'd like to move to that in our next segment because we only have 3 segments left with Gene Randall. David, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now 1-800-583-8662 or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Lest I be thought of as being this crazed egomaniac, which I am, by the way, I wanted to save this for now in the final third of the show. You have a section there on Richard Shaver, I play a bit of a part, but you can explain how.
Because Shaver opened his heart to you, and so did Ray Palmer, and showed themselves to you in a way I don't think they've shown themselves to anyone else. And I found your interviews just indispensable sources for trying to understand this pair and the synergy of. And I'm going to use that word synergy because it seems to me that's part of the pattern. You know, when I was a kid, I was looking for patterns in UFOs. Well, I think I found one, the synergy of pairs. Gray Barker and Albert Bender. Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver. Betty and Barney Hill. Together, the pair creates something that neither one of them could have created alone. And your interviews, it seemed to me, gave the key to understanding how they did it.
I don't mind telling listeners what I did that helped.
What you did was got them to talk about themselves, about their uncertainties, about what they thought was important and what they were doing.
Obviously, it's the interview I did with Ray Palmer, where he said something about Shaver's background, which is also mentioned in one or two books about Palmer and his background. And that's something that hadn't been revealed before. And in connection with that, being the proper reporter, I contacted Shaver and said, okay, what's your take on this?
Whatever it is, you got them to talk. And I mean, that's the magic of an interviewer. You're getting me to talk.
Well, it was in this particular case is, I don't know why Palmer did this or not. Let me give you the backstory. We had this meeting in 1965. Jim Moseley, Dale Rettig, Rick Hilberg, and myself, we went to Chicago. Palmer was on the agenda. We were going to visit Palmer in Amherst, Wisconsin. We first visited a young man, a tall young Frenchman, who wrote a book called Anatomy of Phenomenon, is it?
Yeah, I think we know what tall young
Jacques Vallée. We visited
about.
Jacques Vallée, and Jim Moseley said to me, you know, this guy's got a few problems psychologically, I think. There was some intensity or hyper-strung nature to Vallée. Whatever, you know, I ignored that. We had a pleasant meeting for an hour or two that Vallée barely remembers, but he does remember it. And then we went off to see Ray Palmer. Of course, Ray Palmer, we knew him as the editor of Flying Saucers in Search, the co-founder of Fate magazine, the editor of Amazing Stories when he discovered Richard Shaver, all that background. And Jim had made arrangements with Palmer, who had a listed phone number, by the way, to see him. We had set up a time, and we drove from Chicago to Amherst, Wisconsin, a tiny town, and we got lost a couple of times. And finally, we came up to the service station in Amherst. And out of the blue, Jim says, do you know a guy named Ray Palmer? And he says, yes, I do. Here's how you get to his home. He had this beautiful single family home, Amherst, Wisconsin, overlooking the Tomorrow River. I mean, he always pretended or acted as if he didn't have a lot of money. But he had this beautiful, beautiful home. That really surprised me that he did. In any case, we visited him, and I had the tape recorder, and I said, Ray, can I interview you? And so he did. He talked about a couple of instances where, for example, when he was the editor of Amazing Stories, running the Shaver stories, and he wanted to present material from Shaver that would prove mathematically and scientifically what Shaver said was true. And he talked about taking the galleys, the proofs, to the printer for final approval, and was nearly run down by somebody in a car at an intersection. And he thought that there was some connection. But then he went to say, what happened to Shaver during the years that he spent in the caves? And Palmer said, he was in a mental institution.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the big secret. I asked Shaver, who denied it. Now, later on, we had the author, Richard Toronto, who wrote a book about Palmer and Shaver, and he said that it looked like Shaver's family railroaded him into the mental institution, which I gather in the 1930s was a hell of a sight easier than it is now.
Yeah, though they had a grudge against Shaver, partly because he wasn't Jewish. And they also did genuinely believe he was insane. And there was some grounds for it. He did, you know, he heard voices speaking to him out of his welding machine, which is probably not the person that you want your daughter to marry. There was something that Palmer wrote when Palmer heard, this is in my book, that when Palmer heard the news of Hiroshima, he wrote, no longer is the destructive power of Shavers imaginary or not, underground science, the secret of the underground. It is on the surface now. Did it perhaps come from the underground? What strange guidance might our scientists have had? And what strikes me there is his parenthetical, imaginary or not. He knew with part of him that Shavers, that whole underground world, the Tiro and the Dero and all that stuff, were Shaver's imagination. But he also knew they were real. And that paradox was what he held on to and what gave the Shaver mystery its propulsive power.
Do you think that this can be compared to, in some ways, the kind of stories that we hear coming from people like Whitley Strieber?
Like
Secret School, for example, or Communion? Because, I mean, if you're looking at Communion, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you said Whitley Strieber, so it's
Whitley. No, Whitley. Yes.
Yeah, Whitley. Yeah.
It sounds similar to me in a way. This with what you're talking about, like the driving motivations behind it. I mean, personally, I'm kind of with you in that when I read Strieber, I don't necessarily think that he's talking fact. I think that there's a lot of docufiction there, but it's written in this way that is very much like you describe, where with all the symbolism and that goes on with it.
Well, I've always pronounced the name Strieber, but you use that pronunciation. Strieber is a very interesting case because he's a very self-aware person. I mean, he's extremely intelligent. I've had some interactions with him, and I've been tremendously impressed with his mind. I have no doubt at all that he had some extraordinary experiences.
We'll talk more about Whitley Strieber.
Yeah.
And David Halpern and Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
With coronavirus death rates escalating rapidly around the country, the CDC is now recommending facial coverings to help slow the spread of the virus. President Trump made it clear he would not be using them.
The CDC is advising the use of non-medical cloth face covering as an additional voluntary public health measure. So it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. They suggest it for a period of time, but this is voluntary. I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
In the hardest-hit city, New York Governor Cuomo signed an executive order to transfer ventilators from facilities that aren't using them to overwhelmed hospitals. He said he would use the National Guard if needed.
I'm not going to let people die because we didn't redistribute ventilators.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Those of you looking at the archives of the Paracast, after years of saying yes and then turning us down, we did have Streber on the show one time. Go ahead, David.
I think something very powerful happened to him. He himself is very self-aware and entertains in communion the possibility that what he'd experienced was some sort of sexual abuse as a child. And indeed it does sound like that. I mean, one part of his story, which has been parodied with the most extreme cruelty, is his memory of being anally penetrated by some sort of a rod. And it really does sound like what's happening is the eruption of some ancient sexual trauma. But at the same time that he's describing these extraordinary things, he's casting doubt on his own memories. Like, he cannot remember if he was at the University of Texas when, I think in 1966, a sniper began shooting up the campus. And he wavers back and forth on that. On the one hand, he has a clear memory of being there. On the other hand, his memory makes no sense. So I think with communion, we're dealing with a personal testimony that's very remarkable and that's very difficult to make sense out of. It's interesting, I don't know that most people emphasize this, but Streber himself never said that the beings he encountered were space aliens. That was placed on it by his critics.
Right, but he does talk about trying to understand whatever the motives are behind the we'll just call them aliens, or the creatures, or what he sees as these other beings. And in the end, that's where he gets the title for his book, because he felt that what they're trying to do is create a sort of a meeting of hearts and minds with him through their demonstrations and experiences that they put him through in some way, shape, or form. And I'm not really sure that I understand that, but it sounds very much to me kind of like what you're talking about, where there's a lot of symbolism and visions and experiences that are in some cases vague, aren't perfectly remembered, in some cases are remembered, but yeah. There doesn't seem to be any clear meaning, but that they're constantly pulling him in the direction of some sort of understanding that he even himself took some time to become aware of.
And I'm not sure that we should even use the plural, because I think he says in his preface that there is something that seeks communion with us.
Right, yeah.
And it says just something beyond this.
Right.
So, I mean, he and Valet are not that far apart. But it's interesting about the titles. I don't know whether anybody's compared the I don't know how many languages the book has been translated into, but I know one of them is Hebrew, and the Hebrew title is Ha'orchim, the visitors.
Oh, well, that's a kind of almost an entirely different concept.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you think of communion, you can also think of the religious ritual, right?
You sure can. And as a matter of fact, I think it's inevitable you will think of the Catholic sacrament.
Yeah, and I don't think that was an accident.
I don't think so at all. I'd be the last person in the world to say it's an accident. I know we're toward the end, that I will. We would almost use this as a wind-up. We are dealing with a genuine religious phenomenon, and in my opinion, whether God exists or not, religious phenomena deserve respect.
Or do they? I mean, I'm not religious, so I'm not sure. I think respect has to be earned, and it has to, I'm one of those, I don't believe in faith. There's times when I'll set my logical mind aside, and I'll just say, okay, in a generic sense, I want to have faith in the universe, faith in nature, faith in my fellow human beings, faith in love, faith in the goodness of the world. But when it comes to religion, that's a different story. And there are religions. There are, of course, the Raelians, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, here we have a figurehead who claims to have had actual contact with aliens that took him to their home planet, where he was introduced to all of the luminaries, Jesus and Confucius and so on. I mean, what do you make of that?
I don't know. I know it's part of the story. It's not part of the story that I've studied. I think it's an important one. UFOs are just incredibly rich.
And then, of course, you've got the Heaven's Gate people. I mean, look what happened to them.
Yeah. And then we've got something that I was going to get into in my book, but taught that there were space limitations. And that is that there seems to be a distinct African-American UFO tradition. That ufology, as we know it, is basically a Caucasian institution.
Well, yeah, you know, each country does have its own cultural relationship with the phenomena. South America has a very rich tradition. Mexico has one. The Native Americans, you know, our First Nations, have another one. Every nation seems to have its own special relationship with that phenomena. And there we go again. It's the phenomena reflects the worldview of the experiencer. I just keep coming back to this time and time again.
Yeah. So perhaps the fundamental issue to be explored is the conscious worldview of the experiencer and its interaction with something beyond that consciousness.
Yes. Yes. And of course that, and here we go again, we're almost going around in circles, but it's more like a spiral, because each time we do, we tend to move up a little bit.
And, yes.
And that's when we were talking about Valet again, and the idea of that control system where, you know, when he says, when he speaks of a control system for planet Earth, he doesn't mean some higher order of beings has locked us inside the constraints of a space-bound jail, closely monitored by psychic entities that we might call angels or demons. What he means is that mythology rules at a level of our social reality over which normal political and intellectual action has no power. That's pretty much a quote from him. So he's saying that these experiences transcend our normal boundaries on the map.
Which I believe.
And that seems to suggest, I mean, and this is me just hypothesizing here, that suggests that it is a more universal phenomenon. That what they're trying to do is to break down those barriers. Which, of course, now here we go again, takes us all the way back to John Lennon and imagine no countries. So, it's all just so awesome. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. What's awesome is we have one more segment. I interrupted you. Say that again. I'm going to move to the next segment. Yeah. Go ahead.
How are we going to get a chair of ufology instituted at the university? It would really be worth teaching.
I'm with you.
Well, maybe next year, next century, but not in our lifetimes. Seriously speaking, we don't have a lot of time left. One more segment. I wanted to hit one more subject away from spiritual UFOs, away from collective unconscious, away from myths, and that is to something that may or may not have a practical answer. And refers to a later chapter in your book, entitled, of course, Roswell, New Mexico. That's chapter 8.
Yeah.
I'll give you a beginning. I'm going to say the first sentence in this chapter, first paragraph. About the UFO crash at Roswell, two facts are certain. Pray tell, what could they be? With Gene Randall and David Drin,
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
David Halpern, author of Intimate Aliens, What Two Facts Are When It Comes to New Mexico, what two facts are certain?
Let me consult what I wrote. The first, that about noon on Tuesday, July 8, 1947, the public information officer at Roswell Army Airfield issued the following announcement to local newspaper and radio outlets. And I won't read the whole thing, but it begins, "The many rumors regarding the flying disc became a reality yesterday when the intelligence office of the 509th Bomb Group of the 8th Air Force, was Roswell Army Airfield, was fortunate enough to gain possession of a disc." That's fact number one, that they issued that announcement. Fact number two, that late that same afternoon, Brigadier General Roger M. Ramey invited a reporter from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram to his office at Fort Worth Army Airfield, and there the reporter was shown what was obviously a weather balloon and told that that was what was retrieved at Roswell. Those are the two facts, and I will quote from my book, "Everything else we think we know about Roswell is assertion, recollection, speculation. Piecing it all together into a coherent and persuasive narrative is the single most baffling and complex riddle in ufology. It's also the best known, for who is there in this country and in many other parts of the world for whom the name Roswell doesn't ring a bell? But the note sounded when the bell is rung differs from person to person."
In the end, what do you think Roswell was?
Death.
I guess we should have seen that coming, because
yes,
that seems to be the you know, the patent answer to.
Yes, this is the single best known UFO story, and it is about the aliens, the pilots of the UFOs, shattered and dead. I once wrote in a blog post, the Greeks imagined that the gods were immortal. The ufologists know better.
Indeed, yes, because in the past, in ancient times, when they came down, it would be, okay, well, you know, hand over your best calf and your youngest daughter, and they would be all obliging. But in Roswell, they came down near the only base in the USA that had atomic weapons, and I don't think that they were going to get the same welcome.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it remarkable that the same 509th unit that brought Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that new kind of death into the world, was the same unit on whose doorstep the UFOs manifested themselves?
Does that tell us what they were or what it was?
Yeah, the aliens are death in its aspect of alienness. They're also us, childlike and helpless in the face of a calamity that we can neither ward off nor understand.
You know what I'm seeing here, though, David, is that what we've done here is we've taken a particular phenomena and we've found a way of looking at it that reveals through the use of this kind of thinking, metaphor and archetypes and psychology and analogy, ways of looking at the world, give us an insight, a deeper insight to our existence. Might we not be able to do the same thing, though, with any number of things? Could we apply this sort of thinking to, well, the Loch Ness Monster or a Bigfoot or ghosts, for example? I mean, ghosts. I mean, you want to talk death? There we go. That would seem to be the center, the bullseye right there, if you wanted to use that sort of thinking, right?
Yeah. Be my guest. Be my guest. I would never say that UFOs are the only subject worth studying.
Well, like you were saying, this actually makes perfect sense. What you're saying is it's not really about UFOs. It's about us.
Sure.
Yeah.
So is everything.
Exactly. I'm becoming actually more fascinated with this all the time. I mean, this is the second interview I've done with you, and we've gotten into this subject. And I think that the people out there in UFO land and our listeners who don't quite get it yet, give it a chance. Because, I mean, people know that I'm a believer in the craft, that there are real ones. But this view that you've got is really, really interesting. And I think it really deserves to be contemplated at some deeper level.
If it is, then I will declare my life's work to be complete.
I'm going to ask you a question here, just right from out of the introduction to your book. Why does the UFO-themed Close Encounters of the Third Kind gross over $300 million and become a cinema classic, while organizations dedicated to UFO research languish for want of public interest? Why, in the words of folklorist Thomas Bullard, are UFOs at once so popular and so despised?
Why? Because they represent a part of ourselves, that knowledge of our mortality primarily, that we need to acknowledge, but we don't want to.
That sounds like me and my procrastination on writing a will. I know I should, but it's acknowledging that someday that, you know, I can't do it. I can't bring myself to face that. I can't even hardly saying it. It's like the Fonz trying to apologize. I can't do it.
So you can understand why I looked at my mother growing skeletal and more weak day after day and thought she was doing just fine.
I can understand the mirror analogy that you used with Medusa perfectly, because that's about the only way that I can wrap my head around it, is to get myself outside of the situation and think, well, okay, what if I was someone else and they had to deal with the situation of what might happen to me, but, you know, of course won't.
Yes.
Yeah. Dealing with mortality and in the mortality of someone you love and ourselves can be very difficult.
Perhaps impossible even, except in a mirror.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I know logically and rationally that this is something that will happen to myself and probably everyone else. And yet I look at other books Say, for example, The Age of Spiritual Machines, where they talk about downloading consciousness, and other books that say solving the aging problem, where maybe we never actually will have to die. We're at a stage now in human development where maybe we won't, for the first time in history. I grasp onto that, maybe in the same way that you grasped onto UFOs. I don't know. What if we conquered death? Then what?
This question may be answered in the next appearance from David Halpern or not. We'll keep you guessing. David, where can we find more of your stuff?
Well, you could go to my website, www.davidhalperin.net, or, of course, you could go to the website of the Stanford University Press and take a look at their notice of my book.
Whatever you think about UFOs, you got to take a gander at this book. Really worth it. Not just complimenting an old friend. He does good work. You'll find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You'll find two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. You'll find branded merchandise for the Paracast, four different logos, T-shirts and jackets and throw pillows and stuff and cups, more to come. To find out more, go to theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop. We also offer our second radio show, the After the Paracast podcast. We never know what's going to happen next. We have extended interviews from the main episode, special interviews, commentaries, and more. We also give you a version of this show free of the network ads. Better quality audio. All this and more for a low subscription price and for the duration of this worldwide crisis, coronavirus. We've cut the prices by 40% or more. For more information on joining the Paracast Plus, check theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Can't wait till his next book comes out, or are we rushing or jumping the gun here? David Halpern, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you so much for having me, Gene and Randall.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.